Welcome to the Canna Cook Podcast. We hope you'll be encouraged to have an I'm third approach as you navigate family, leadership, and spiritual growth. If you're new to our conversation, welcome. It's so great to have you. Let's jump in.
I am thrilled to be with you today because the topic we're talking about today is absolutely, without a doubt, the most important topic in the world, in the history of mankind. How, why, and when to incorporate the Word of God in our lives. I'm here with co-host Beth Ann Lampley, the charming co-director of our K-1 Girls Camp, and I'm here with Chad Hampsch, the co-director of the Canna Cook Institute and the co-director of a fantastic high school camp we call K-7. Today, our prayer will be from Psalms 119, verse 18, Lord, open our eyes that we might behold wonderful things from thy law. And with that prayer, Chad, we're glad you've joined us in this broadcast. The students brag and brag about you behind your back and talk about the way you teach the Bible.
Coach, Beth Ann, I could not be more excited to be here. And what an important topic for our audience when we think about the importance of God's word. And, you know, the thing that immediately comes to my mind is that God has spoken. He has made himself known. And what a privilege it is for us as believers is to engage the word of God, to know the person of God in a deep and intimate and abiding way. So I'm privileged to be here. Thank you.
It's amazing. One of my quotes that I've been just dwelling on recently was from a Bible teacher that I really respect. And, you know, Chad and Joe, she said, there's a whole generation of people that proclaim to love a God that they don't know. And man, that just kind of shakes me to my core because I think it's true. We have a lot of people out there that proclaim to love God, but they don't actually know him. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. How can we know God? Because we know his word. And again, our eyes are being opened as we look to it. So it's going to be a great conversation today.
And Chad, we talked about you and Keith Chancey directing the Canna Cook Institute. Our students are raving about the Canna Cook Institute. Please describe this to us.
Yeah. So really what Beth Ann was just talking about is crucial. And what I think what we're seeing with young people in particular, Coach, is that a lot of people's understanding of who God is really rooted in the 30 years of Jesus's life, but not the 6,000 years of the story of the Bible. And because of that, they see God's faithfulness in a very narrow sense, a very short period of time, instead of God's unbelievable plan woven throughout the story of the Bible. And so we invite students to come in who want to know God. And I think what Beth Ann was talking about is like there's a passion, there's an emotion and excitement from this generation that's really not fully tapped because they don't have deep roots. And so our goal is Psalm 1 is to give them deep roots, trees firmly planted by streams of water, that their roots would be wider than the canopy of their reach. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the word picture the psalmist wants us to get is we need deeper roots than our canopy will reach, because if our canopy is too big and our roots aren't deep, the tree falls over.
And so you take 80 students, college graduates, from all the Canna Cook camp's staff and other students that have not even been to Canna Cook, and you train them for a year in the Bible. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah. So they're here on property for 7.5 months. And, we just start from scratch, Coach. I mean, so many people don't know. And so we just start with little baby steps, you know, kind of at a kindergarten level. And we just work our way through the grades of the Bible stories and let them see how the stories connect into this one true faithful God that has made himself known. And so students get to come and they get to understand what they believe and why do I believe it and can I defend what I believe in a culture that doesn't necessarily agree with that? Do I understand apologetics? Do I understand the ability to communicate the gospel in a way with gentleness and respect, as 1 Peter talks about? So, and what's fun for me is when I see from beginning to end transformation. And it's those roots, right? Those roots are just getting deeper and deeper as they're here. And the conviction is stronger because they know truth. Everybody in this room knows, like, the deeper your roots are, the more you stand firm when the world around you shakes, when the storm, when the waters rise, your tree stays.
And so you see the word coming alive in your students.
No doubt.
And then when they graduate, they go out into different fields of business and ministry.
Yeah.
And they make a difference.
Yeah. And we don't care what they do. What we care is how they do it. You know, that if they're going to the business world, they're taking the word to the business world. They're taking the word to being a doctor or a nurse or a lawyer or a teacher. And it's alive in them because they've experienced it. And we talk a lot about the joy of discovery. You know, that when you hear somebody else teach the Bible, it's fun. But when you learn it for yourself, it's like your hair's on fire. And you'll never forget those moments when you learn something in Scripture that somebody didn't show you, but you found for yourself. And they leave these benchmarks in your heart that are really important.
Love what you're doing.
I remember describing kind of the Bible coming to life in color after attending the Kennecuck Institute, and especially after getting to go to Israel and just see like, oh my goodness, like, I mean, I knew God's word said this, but now I'm standing at, you know, this place, and it really does just help it come to life and come to color. And it's been so fun to even just look back and see, even as a kid, I grew up in church and with a dad as a pastor, I was not ready to be launched into the world until I went to the Kennecuck Institute. So really fun full circle moment.
And so Beth Ann, I want to talk to you for just a second, if you can, because you just bubble. The love of Christ. You do. And I know you're a humble young lady, but you just bubble it. And everybody around here sees the word of God coming alive in you. And I just, you know, how do you do it? How do you keep the attitude in your heart of delighting in the word, as David says, and treasuring the word, as David says? You know, how do you do it?
Honestly, Joe, the more I become aware of how sinful I am and the fact that God still delights in me, that makes me a lot more encouraged to delight in him because, you know, I see my shortcomings, you know, I feel them. And to know that God still wants to pursue me and know me and he wants me to know him through his word, like that encourages me to spend time with him. And, you know, I remember, especially as a college student, when I would approach God's word, it was out of duty and not delight. It was out of needing to feel like a good Christian, that I was doing the right things. And if others were, you know, looking at my life, I wanted them to know that I was being good. I was doing the things that I'm supposed to do, but I was missing that part of walking with Jesus that he wants me to know him. And when I know him, I can love him. And when I love him, I can obey him. And so I was trying to be a little bit probably of a righteous robot in my younger years. And again, I grew up in the church. My dad was a pastor. Like I was well versed in being a good girl and a good kid and a good Christian, you know, from the standards of the world. But for so much of my life, I missed out on just delighting in who the person of God is and knowing him deeply and intimately, far beyond just knowing what to do and what not to do. And so again, the more I get to know God, the more I want to spend time with him. And the more, again, that I'm aware of even my sin nature and my need for him. And again, that he wants to still spend time with me. That encourages me to treasure him.
And so Beth Ann, what do you say to the student or to the adult who has gotten stale towards God's word, or they've gotten sort of stuck in their walk with Christ, and the word of God is not coming alive to them anymore?
Right. You know, there's a lot of things you could say, and a lot of us fill the space that should go to be with time with the Lord with other things. And so first, you know, maybe going through, what do you need to edit out of your life to make space for what truly matters, for what is ultimate? And then I would say, start small. I think as we look around at Christians who influence us on the internet, or even the person next to you that, you know, they do Bible journaling and they use all these pens like Debbie Jo, and, you know, they've got their coffee and everything just looks pristine and they're sharing all these wonderful insights. Like that can almost discourage someone who's been in that like stale state, because they're like, well, I'm just so far from that that I just don't even think I can start. But what I usually tell people who've been struggling, I'm like, set a timer for 10 minutes. That's all I want you to do. Set a timer, put your phone in a different place so you're not looking at it, and just start reading for 10 minutes. And just look, where did I see God today? You know, is there, what can I learn from just reading for 10 minutes? And so again, just start. Give yourself grace. Don't live in guilt about what you haven't done. God doesn't want that. He says in his word, his mercies are new every morning. And so if you failed yesterday, start again right now. And just remember, God wants you to spend time with him because he loves you, because he made you, because you're his, and he wants you to get to know him through your word. So just start. And I believe if you'll start as you get to know him, you're going to keep going back to him.
So Beth Ann, one of my favorite motivational quotes back in my formative days, back in the, you know, when I was in my young 20s, was by a mentor of mine named Dr. Howard Hendricks, who's deceased, but he's affected so many lives on planet Earth, particularly in how to study the Bible. He said, when you approach the Bible, approach it as a love letter. I'll never forget his words, because it is the greatest love letter ever written. Humbly, with a, you know, with a tender heart, it was written with Jesus' very life-giving blood. And when you open it up as a love letter, it becomes the most exciting thing you've ever done in your life. And so, Chad, with that in mind, I turn to you. You're a dad. You're a husband. And God has given you the grace for a wonderful marriage to your just fabulous wife, Kat. And you've got really, really cool kids that I know them all personally and love to spend time with each other. But at the same time, you know, you have a gigantic workload every day. And your family, like all families, has gone through some intensive challenges along the way. But what is your personal Bible growth plan? And how do you use your Bible growth plan that you do personally to help yourself stay in an active walk with Jesus?
Yeah, great question. I'm going to circle back on Psalm 1 again, because it's so important to me in this particular topic. But it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it day and night. And, you know, what I talk about with Institute students, with my leadership team, is mornings and evenings. Mornings and evenings, mornings and evenings. Then when I wake up, I spend time with the Lord. And right before I go to bed, the last thing on my mind is the word of the Lord. A couple things come to mind, Coach. You know, one, I think what Beth Ann was talking about is there's this mindset of legalism, is I have to read a chapter. I have to check the box. And I always ask my staff, would you rather read a chapter and just go about your day? Or would you rather have read half a verse and have your life changed? And the answer is always, I'd rather read half a verse and have my life changed. And it's that Romans 12:2 idea. It's the transforming by the renewing of our mind, that we engage our mind. It's mind, soul, and strength. It's the whole person, and our minds have to be engaged. And so I love reading scripture for breadth, you know, where we read a chapter or two or three or four at a time. And then sometimes I just dig in and I sit in a particular verse and I look at the key words. And I dig and I dig and I dig. And it's like when you're digging for gold, if you find just a little nugget, you stay there. You don't go some dig somewhere else. You just keep digging and digging because there's more gold there. That's what I encourage people, is really what Beth Ann was talking about, is when you find a nugget of truth, sit in it, meditate on it, chew on it, summarize it, tell other people about it, and it becomes a part of you. It becomes a part of your mind and your heart and your soul. And so, but just from a practical standpoint, mornings and evenings, that it's the first thing in the morning when the house is quiet and the kids are not up yet. And it's the last thing before I go to bed.
Mornings and evenings, Chad, you know, we do discipleship here, and I've got several groups that I get to work with throughout the year. And one of the groups is young men, and we have accountability around our Bible study group. There's five or six of us in the group, and our accountability is when I have my morning quiet time, and sometimes it's not very long, sometimes it's longer. And when I have my evening quiet time, same thing. Sometimes it's pretty good, sometimes it's not so long, but we all do it for each other. Mm-hmm. We do it for the Lord, but we all do it because we're accountable to each other. And so it puts bookends on our day. Our day begins. And by the way, parenting, this is the best thing you can do as a mom and dad, is the same bookend idea, where at the breakfast table, either mom or dad has a devotional with our kids before they crash into their day and grab their backpacks and race off into craziness. And then in the evening, either at the dinner table or what we've talked about on this show before, is at bedtime, to have a really good quiet time with your children. Beth Ann, what's your personal quiet time plan?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would say, because I think there's a temptation for anybody listening to hear kind of what we do and, you know, to think, oh, man, they're so faithful, or they're so that. And Chad and I and Joe and I would all say we're still working on daily faithfulness. And sometimes, you know, we miss the mark on that. And so one, just be encouraged. We are not claiming to be perfect in these disciplines in our life. But for me, really simply, I just say I need a plan and a place. And so, you know, right now my plan is that I'm going through a study called the Bible Recap, where I am reading the story of Scripture chronologically. And I'm looking for God in the midst of every book of the Bible that I'm reading. And then, you know, I'm meditating on that. My place is just my living room chair. I go to that in the mornings. I turn my lamp on, and that's my place. And so for me, and this is something I encourage others into, if you will have a plan and a place, that's going to help you as you do try to become just more disciplined to carve out this time. So for me, it's simple. It's having a plan, knowing what and where I'm reading, and having a place that I'm going to consistently.
Chad, is there anything else about Bible quiet times and personal times that you'd like to say to encourage our listeners?
Well, I would just say, jump in. Those rhythms are really important, but I think it's listening to the prompting of the Spirit all throughout the day and going, you know what? I need to not go eat today. I need to set aside some time and I just need to go read, and reading for breadth and for width, you know, so that we're, you know, I'm studying the Gospel of John, but I'm reading Exodus in the evenings, and the importance of studying in the Old and the New Testament and how they perfectly mesh on the idea of the character of God, the God we want to know, the God who has revealed himself. It's really crucial that we understand the whole counsel of Scripture and not just, you know, the four Gospels or even the New Testament.
So I'm a slow learner, and if there's any other slow learners listening today, you can probably take a tip from another slow learner. 50 years ago, I was blessed to attend a seminar, and the speaker, who wasn't even there, it was on a screen, but he rocked my world, and he started quoting Scripture by the chapter and by the book, and he said that that's the most important thing we can do. In fact, 23 times Scripture tells us to meditate on God's Word. And as Joshua 1:8 says, if you'll meditate on God's Word day and night and do what it says, you'll be blessed in whatever you do. Blessed as a husband, blessed as a wife, blessed as a father, blessed as a mother, blessed as a student, blessed as a professional. And so to meditate on God's Word, obviously, we get to do the wonderful creative work of memorizing God's Word. And if you want to take it from another, you know, turtle in, you know, slowness, take your favorite chapter, whatever it is, whether it's a Psalm of David, whether it's a letter of Paul, whether it's Isaiah or Jesus, take your favorite chapter. And today, just take verse one. And the memory experts around the world all agree on one thing: you can't remember words, but you can't forget pictures. And so picture the key words in that verse. Just make a picture that sounds like that word. And then picture that verse in your mind, just verse one. And then tonight, think about that verse before you go to sleep. And then the morning you wake up, just think about that verse for a second or a minute or two. And then tomorrow, take the second verse. Don't go crazy. Just take the second verse and think about that verse and pull it in with the first verse. And when you go to bed, think about those two verses. And then the next day, add verse three. And you will be shocked, as I was 50 years ago. Even as a defensive lineman, where they don't put the smart guys necessarily, that's where they stuck me. Even as a defensive lineman, you'll be surprised how the days will turn into months, will turn into years, where verses will become chapters, and chapters will become books, and you'll be able to have a quiet time any time of the day or night. That's why we're exhorted in Scripture to pray without ceasing. That's what the Bible's talking about, is having the Bible on your mind and in your heart throughout your daily life. That is the purpose of Scripture. And Beth Ann, that's why we call the Bible the greatest love letter ever written.
That's right. Listeners out there, God wants you to know Him. And He's not trying to be mysterious. He has told us plainly in His Word who He is, what His promises are to us. And so, in summary, Chad said it earlier, but jump in. Start today getting to know the God who loves you, who has good plans for you, and wants to walk through life with you. So with that, we'd love to pray for you. God, we thank You again just for the gift of Your Word, God, that You chose to tell us who You are so that we might know You and love You and have fellowship with You. And God, we pray for everyone out there, God, as we are all constantly bombarded with distractions and busyness and all the things going on around us, God, that we would choose to make time to grow in the Word a priority, because we know that is where life is going to be found. God, that truth can only be found in Your Word. And so, God, would You help us to grow in this area and to look more like You every day? It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
We hope today's conversation left you encouraged, strengthened, and empowered. If you haven't had a chance, please subscribe to our podcast today to stay up to date with the latest episodes. If this podcast has helped you in any way, please consider rating us, writing a review, or sharing it with others so we can continue to build you up with an I'm Third approach to family, leadership, and spiritual growth. For more information about the podcast, visit CanacookPodcast.com. And for more information about Canacook, you can visit Canacook.com.